Breaking news tonight. A new outbreak of deadly tornadoes decimating homes and towns. A rising toll with nearly a dozen states now on high alert. Fears the biggest threat is yet to come. Exploding airbags bombshell. News tonight, half of all cars being driven right now in America might need to be recalled, as investigators say the airbag maker continued to deceive customers even after deadly crashes. Trump landslide after crushing the competition in Nevada. Tonight he's aiming for a Super Tuesday knockout. Also, Melania Trump, a rare one-on-one interview. Does she ever think he's gone too far? And shocking blast caught on camera. A man's pocket suddenly bursts into flames. Tonight, a warning for everyone who uses e-cigarettes. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. The death toll has risen even higher today from that violent storm system that tore through the South, and it's on the move tonight. As we start here, cities from eastern North Carolina up through Philadelphia, including the D.C. area, are under the threat of tornadoes. At least four more people were killed this afternoon, some in Waverly, Virginia, where there has been significant damage from an apparent tornado. At least seven people have died since this time yesterday. Right now, at least 10 states are at risk from the severe weather, with the highest tornado risk this evening. NBC's Miguel Almaguer reports from the storm zone.
Tonight, this is what they feared: funnel clouds, possible tornadoes, a weather system still packing pounding rain and whipping winds. With at least four dead today, there's another night of dangerous weather still ahead.
Read it. Oh, my God.
The forecast calls for 70-mile-an-hour winds. Tens of millions in the danger zone. The wicked winter weather, a powerful linear system, fueled by the strongest El Nino on record, raking across 10 states. The storm mangling the landscape, ripping apart homes and taking lives.
The glass was breaking. You could hear things flipping around outside. I mean, just total carnage.
With three killed on Tuesday and dozens injured, Convent, Louisiana was in the bullseye. 160 homes demolished.
We went from the floor to the ceiling, wall to the floor.
Braxton Lott, his wife and three small children, rode out the storm in this trailer. They were pulled into the air and rolled over several times across the street. Savannah clinging to her daughter as she was being sucked out of a window.
She was like flying out the window, literally. I had her by her ankles.
With up to 30 tornadoes reported in Pensacola, Florida, a twister smashed apart an apartment complex. It's said to have traveled 2 miles, described as a war zone. Homes shredded, RVs flipped over, cars tangled in trees. With the same weather system triggering up to 18 inches of snow in the Midwest, at least 67,000 have lost power, and now more could too. A state of emergency as the threat across the East isn't over yet.
As the rain continues to hammer down here in Raleigh, we remain under a tornado warning until a bit later on tonight. Lester, this storm is moving towards Washington, D.C. and your area in New York. It's expected to hit that region around 11 o'clock tonight. If there is some good news, it should be packing a bit of a lighter punch. Lester?
All right, Miguel Almaguer tonight. Thank you. Tonight, the scandal involving dangerous airbags in millions of cars appears to be growing even larger, with U.S. Senate investigators saying they've uncovered evidence that the Takata Corporation was deceiving automakers for years about its defective airbags. And there is a growing possibility that the recall could now grow to cover half of the cars on American roads right now. NBC's Tom Costello has details.
It was just before Christmas when 52-year-old Joel Knight was killed in South Carolina. His 2006 Ford Ranger hit a cow on a country road. The Takata airbag inflator exploded on impact.
Why didn't they contact us? This could have been prevented. His death could have been prevented.
The coroner found metal shrapnel that cut through the airbag also severed his spine. Federal investigators report hundreds of people have been injured, at least 9 killed from exploding airbags.
Now, Senate investigators say internal emails show Takata was aware its airbag inflators were defective, yet it deceived its customers, the automakers, for years.
A 2006 Takata email says reports were cherry-picked and somebody was schmoozed to accept certain deviations. In another email, an employee writes, if the customer requests records or makes an audit, we will have a lot of failures, sometimes 38%. but Takata disputes whether the rider had direct knowledge.
They were manipulating data to make it look like this explosive device was in fact safe.
In a statement, Takata says it's deeply sorry for all fatalities and injuries that have occurred, and the issues raised in the emails are entirely inexcusable and will not be tolerated or repeated. It's already been hit with a record $70 million fine. A stunning 24 million vehicles are under recall for potentially defective airbags. Now, regulators are under congressional pressure to expand the recall to include every Takata airbag in America, potentially 120 million vehicles. That would be nearly half the cars on the road. Meanwhile, in South Carolina, the Knight family is suing both Takata and Ford.
That someone can be so inconsiderate of someone's life.
Over an airbag meant to save lives that instead took yet another. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
Donald Trump is aiming for a knockout after three landslide victories. The GOP frontrunner could be headed for a Super Tuesday sweep if his opponents can't stop him. And frustration is growing from some in the party as Rubio and Cruz continue to target each other, not the man who's charging towards the nomination. We have it all covered tonight, starting with NBC's Katie Turr in Houston. Katie, good evening.
Good evening, Lester. Donald Trump is looking more and more like the favorite to win the nomination. And now the last nominee, Mitt Romney, is taking aim.
Yes, sir.
Donald Trump with evangelical leader Pat Robertson in Virginia today, trying to hit Ted Cruz where it hurts, targeting Christian conservatives at Regent University.
I've got to be a good person, you know, today, at least for the next hour.
Coming off his big win in Nevada.
Soon the country is going to start winning, winning, winning.
The New Yorker is looking for a lock on the nomination, sooner rather than later.
We might not even need the 2 months, folks, to be honest, all right?
And if polling is any indication, he could be right. The billionaire resonating across voting blocks.
We won the evangelicals. We won with young. We won with old. We won with highly educated. We won with poorly educated. I love the poorly educated.
Nevada numbers, like New Hampshire and South Carolina, show Trump won evangelicals, conservatives, moderates, those who worried about immigration, those who wanted an outsider, and those who are angry. Trump's abrasive tone working.
Stay on course, stay on message.
In fact, Donald Trump alone got more votes than total votes cast in Nevada's 2012 GOP caucus. Today, that cycle's nominee, Mitt Romney, speculated Trump has something to hide.
The reason that I think that there's a bombshell in there is because every time he's asked about his taxes, he dodges and delays.
Trump not responding to the allegation, instead calling Romney a fool. The Trump effect is in full effect. Now he is looking for a knockout.
His three chief opponents all have to run in their home states, and Trump could beat them all. He could beat Kasich in Ohio, he could beat Rubio in Florida, and it all could begin next Tuesday in Texas, where if he beats Ted Cruz, Cruz is suddenly the first one voted off the island.
Setting the rivals up for a Lone Star State showdown. Katie Turr, NBC News, Houston.
I'm Hallie Jackson in Texas, a state where they remember the Alamo, but it's a different kind of battle. Ted Cruz is winning here. A new poll shows he's up double digits over Donald Trump, 15 points.
It is good to be home.
Nationally, though, he's neck and neck with Marco Rubio for second place. The two fighting to be the Trump alternative, but fighting each other first, all while Trump picks up delegates and momentum.
You worry you're wasting your time attacking Marco Rubio instead.
Hallie, I think that's an interesting question, given that I'm the only candidate on that debate stage who has consistently pointed out Donald Trump's liberal record.
Given that it hasn't worked yet?
Well, at this point, he's won two of the first three states, and I've won one.
Cruz looking now to Super Tuesday in Texas, where today he won the endorsement of the governor. In his home state, where he must win, his confident campaign pointing to 27,000 volunteers here. Rubio's campaign equally confident in their strategy. Wait for Cruz to fail and lay off Trump for now.
I don't have any voters begging me to attack anyone. I'm not in this race to attack any Republican. I'm more than happy to show differences.
But the Florida senator has what could be his own Alamo to fight in the Sunshine State, which awards all its delegates to the winner. meaning a second-place finish won't matter. That primary, 3 weeks away, but maybe the beginning of the end of this Republican race. Hallie Jackson, NBC News, Houston.
The fight over the Supreme Court escalated to a new level today as President Obama hit back at Republicans who say they'll refuse to even meet with any potential nominee until the next president is elected. NBC News has learned the White House is vetting a Republican governor for the vacancy, a move that seems designed to put GOP senators in an uncomfortable position. Our justice correspondent, Pete Williams, has details.
The notion that there's some two-month
at a White House meeting with the King of Jordan, the president tried to keep the heat on Senate Republicans and their leader, Mitch McConnell, for saying that choosing a Supreme Court justice should be up to the next president.
The American people are going to have the ability to gauge whether the person I've nominated is well within the mainstream.
Thank you. Thank you.
And Democrats let it be known that on a long list of potential nominees is Brian Sandoval, the Republican governor of Nevada and the state's first Hispanic federal judge.
This is a way for Democrats in the White House to extract maximum pain on Republicans on their stance not to hear any nominee.
But Republicans say Vice President Biden saw things their way 24 years ago when he chaired the Senate Judiciary Committee and said no confirmations during a presidential campaign.
Action on a Supreme Court nomination must be put off until after the election campaign is over.
Words that Senate Republicans are now gleefully recalling.
What we are doing is what the Democrats' top leadership has advocated in the past.
But it was actually the ranking Republican on Senate Judiciary 24 years ago who said confirmations should go on during a campaign.
It is this process, a process which should not be changed for election year expediency, which has signified the majority of our system of government.
The president now says he'll have a nominee, quote, in the weeks ahead.
Mr. President, how many days?
Pete Williams, NBC News, Washington.
A dramatic day in the civil lawsuit brought by sports reporter Erin Andrews. In court, Andrews looked on in tears as her father testified about her trauma after a man secretly filmed her at a hotel. Andrews is suing her stalker and the hotel's owner and former management company, claiming they let it happen. NBC's Morgan Radford has details.
An emotional day for Erin Andrews, wiping away tears while her father describes her as a shell of the person she once was.
She's terrified. She's depressed. She's not the girl that we used to know.
Steve Andrews, a veteran reporter, testifying on behalf of his daughter in her $75 million suit against the man convicted of stalking and secretly filming her naked in her Nashville hotel room in 2008.
She kept screaming, I'm on the internet, I'm on the internet, I'm naked, everything I work for is done.
Andrews' lawyer says Michael Barrett removed and altered the peephole of Andrews' hotel room. Then he held up his cell phone and recorded her naked.
He wanted a ring right next to her. I remember thinking to myself, how does this happen?
Andrews' attorney called a hospitality expert to the stand.
That's the cardinal sin in the hospitality industry, is to give somebody's room number away or let them know that they're even staying there.
The hotel's lawyer blames only the stalker.
He deceived, he connived, he stalked. That's what Mr. Barrett did.
Mr. Andrews believes someone needs to pay for what happened to his daughter.
First time in my life as her father, where I didn't know if she was safe or not. I feared for her life.
Morgan Radford, NBC News.
Still ahead here tonight, Melania Trump's first solo interview of the campaign, opening up about her marriage to Donald Trump, whether she ever thinks he's crossed the line, and what happens on those occasions when they disagree. Also caught on camera, e-cigarette battery blowing up in a man's pocket. What causes these sudden explosions? We're back now with a woman who could be America's first foreign-born first lady in nearly 200 years. Melania Trump, the one-time design and architecture student turned fashion model, often seen but not often heard speaking in public, now speaking out. Here's NBC's Andrea Mitchell.
Donald Trump is everywhere. But his wife Melania has avoided the spotlight for months, speaking only briefly on the trail.
He was working very hard. And he loves you.
But now, sitting down with MSNBC's Mika Brzezinski.
We have a thick skin, and we know that people will judge him, and people will call names, and they don't give him enough credit.
The former supermodel is Trump's third wife, born in Slovenia.
I'm my own person, he's his own person, and I think that's very important. I don't want to change him, he doesn't want to change me.
What about many felt he had insulted Mexicans?
No, I don't feel he insulted the Mexicans. He said illegal immigrants. He didn't talk about everybody.
But you're an immigrant.
Yes.
Do you ever think he's gone too far?
I follow the law. I follow a law the way it's supposed to be. I never thought to stay here without papers.
When he talked about a ban on Muslims, well, did you ever worry about it?
Well, what he said is it will be temporary, mm-hmm. and it's not for all the Muslims. It's the one we need to screen them who is coming to the country. He wants to protect America.
Melania speaks several languages, but what about some of the language her husband uses?
Well, do I agree all the time mm-hmm. with him? Mm-hmm. No, I don't. And I tell him that. I tell him my opinions. I tell him what I think. Sometimes he listens, sometimes he don't.
Even if not always visible to the public, Melania Trump is clearly a key sounding board for the Republican front runner. Andrea Mitchell, NBC News.
We're back in a moment with a warning about a potential risk in the water for children and pregnant women in yet another American city. A urgent warning has been issued over lead found in water at several homes in Jackson, Mississippi. While the city claims its water has not been declared unsafe, pregnant women and young children are being urged to drink bottled or filtered water. State health officials say they believe the lead is from home plumbing corrosion, not the water source. In Kentucky, a sudden and shocking explosion caught on tape. It's a man taken by complete surprise when his pants pockets burst into flames. An e-cigarette battery is blamed for the blast, and as NBC's Joe Fryer tells us, it's hardly the first time something like this has happened. Watch.
A customer was simply stopping for snacks at a Kentucky gas station when the security camera captured this startling moment.
Suddenly there was a blast in his pocket and there was fire, big fire.
Josh Hamilton suffered second-degree burns. He says the spare battery for his e-cigarette device exploded, the flames eventually doused by a clerk. It's the latest injury tied to electronic vapor products, reports popping up from Oklahoma to California.
I pulled it away from my lips and that's when it exploded.
Doctors at Harborview Medical Center in Seattle have seen five different patients in the past 5 months.
The way that the battery is in the device, it becomes a high-powered rocket that can cause significant force and injury to the patient.
The problems center around lithium-ion batteries that power the devices, which can overheat, especially if the wrong charger is used. The American Vaping Association says when charged and used under proper conditions, vapor products pose no more of a fire risk than other products that use lithium-ion batteries, like cell phones and laptops.
Are a lot of customers asking you about this?
Yes, they are.
At the vape source in L.A., employees tell customers don't carry the batteries in your pockets.
Sometimes it might touch the loose change in your pocket or just the keys. You know, sometimes it will start to get hot. So what I recommend is to carry a battery case like this right here. And then pretty much it's protected.
Advice to make sure people can vape without the fireworks. Joe Fryer, NBC News, Los Angeles.
When we come back, our interview from orbit, what astronaut Scott Kelly says he's looking forward to most back on Earth after nearly a year in space. Finally, tonight it's been an around-the-world journey many times over for astronaut Scott Kelly, though he's never actually lost sight of home. It's been right outside the window on the International Space Station. After a year in orbit testing the effects of prolonged spaceflight, his ride back to Earth departs next week, and so we decided to check in with him one more time before the big homecoming. Astronaut Scott Kelly is in the home stretch.
I started counting down when we got to 10 days left, which was a few days ago.
Kelly is one of two participants in NASA's mission, the first American to spend a year in orbit. As of today, Kelly has orbited the Earth 5,344 times. Talk to me about the mental and psychological impact of being up there. You look out the window, you see the world pass by, you see familiar sights. What does that do to you to watch that?
You know, you definitely have a different perspective on the Earth and things that happen down there. I'm actually looking at it right now. The window's open. I follow the news very closely, have it on during the workday and in the evening. So I keep probably more in touch with what's going on Earth when I'm in space than when I'm actually on Earth.
Kelly has been posting photos on social media throughout his mission. His awe-inspiring pictures of his home planet have become a huge hit.
Are you a bit nostalgic as your time in space is nearing an end?
The ability to press our limits with regards to exploration and discovery, I think it's been a privilege of being a part of that, and it's something that I'm going to miss, but I've been up here for a long time, and I also look forward to going home.
The astronaut is expected to make his homecoming next Tuesday. When Kelly wraps up his mission, he will have traveled more than 143 million miles in space. And the one thing he's looking forward to the most when he gets back home?
Human contact, the people you love on Earth, your family, your friends, people you miss.
And we wish Kelly safe travels back home. That will do it for us on this Wednesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.